Madam President, for the last 20 years, I've found myself in a lonely fight against earmarks and pork barrel spending. Year after year, I've come to the floor and read list after list of the ridiculous items we're spending money on, hoping enough embarrassment might spur some change. And I was encouraged in January when this body passed by 96-2 an ethics and lobbying reform package which contained real, meaningful earmark reform. I thought at last we would finally enact some effective reforms. Unfortunately, the victory is short-lived. One of my happier days, I'll admit, was when Dr. Coburn was elected to the United States Senate in 2004. There's no better advocate of earmark reform, no one more consistent in standing firm to fight the worthy fight against wasteful spending, and I'm proud to call him my friend. I'd like to commend my friend Senator DeMint and Senator Graham, Senator Cornyn, and others for joining our effort. Sadly, I say to my friends that given the very watered-down earmark provisions contained in the measure brought to us by the majority, our good fight clearly will have to continue. Not only does this bill do far too little to rein in wasteful spending, it has completely gutted the earmark reform provisions we passed overwhelmingly in January. It provides a little more than lip service, unless, of course, you happen to be a committee chairman or the majority leader. Under this majority-written bill, with no input from Republicans, this bill will, unless you hold one of the top positions, you will now yield even more power with your pork barrel pen. Let me be clear, the Ethics and Lobbying Reform Bill has some good provisions, which I strongly support, a ban on gifts and travel paid for by lobbyists or groups. Although, if you want to get a free meal, just count it as a contribution. But anyway, increased disclosure is welcome reform. But the bill before us fixes only the part of the problem. The heart of the problem that has bred the corruption is the earmark process. All flows from, as my friend Dr. Cole said from time to time, it's the gate to corruption. And I don't throw around the word corruption lightly, Mr. President, but there are former members of Congress in jail. There's investigations going on right now, and you can trace it all back to the influence of money, which has corrupted a process which then allows money, our tax dollars, to be given to special interests or even accrue to the benefit of the author of the earmarks. We come to the floor a lot and talk about a lot of the earmarking. Some of them are fun to talk about, but they make you sad. $225,000 for an historic wagon museum in Utah. $1 million for a DNA study of bears in Montana. $200,000 for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You notice that all of these earmarks are geographically designated so that there would be no mistake that that money might be someplace else than where it had been intended by the appropriator. One of my favorites is the $37 million over 4 years to the Alaska Fisheries Marketing Board to promote and develop fishery products and research pertaining to American fisheries. So how does this board spend the money so generously? I have a picture that I won't show. Well, they spent $500,000 of your tax dollars to paint a giant salmon on the side of Alaska Air 47 and nicknamed it the Salmon 40 Salmon. So the fact is, we're going at the heart of the problem. I'd like to quote Journal, which says it even better than I can. Quote, our favorite switcheroo. Under the previous Senate reform, the Senate parliamentarian would have determined whether a bill complied with earmark disclosure rules. Under Mr. Reid's new version, the current majority leader is that Mr. Reid himself will decide if a bill is in compliance. When was the last time a majority party leader declared one of his own bills out of order? I've only been here 20 years, Mr. President, but I've never seen it. And I don't think you're going to see it in the future. So while under this new version of the bill, earmarks should be disclosed in theory, the fact remains that only the committee chair, the majority leader, or his designee can police it. If they say all the earmarks are identified, we take it as gospel. Our only option is to appeal the ruling in the chair that a certification was made, and of course, that's business as usual, required 60 votes. The new version does retain the requirement that bills and conference report be available 48 hours before a vote, but the searchable database is no longer a requirement when it comes to conference reports. Conference report, where we have seen inserted some of the most egregious pork barrel projects in this system as it exists today. And, of course, conveniently, the bill was modified between its release Monday morning and another version Monday afternoon. It was a modification to the benefit of the business-as-usual crowd. It would now require a 60-vote threshold to appeal the ruling of the chair compared to a mere majority vote under the version released a few hours earlier. Let's be clear, Mr. President. 60 members are not going to overrule the majority leader. Fact. Business as usual. Business as usual. I'm a bit saddened, too, Mr. President, because this is an opportunity. There's enough outrage and anger out there amongst the American people that they are demanding reform. They're not demanding that it increase from 1 year to 2 year for disclosure, and they're not demanding about meals. They're demanding we fix the earmark process, which has led to corruption. And we have taken a pass. And I regret very much, and I predict to you now that the earmarking and pork barrel spending will creep back into the process sooner rather than later, and we will not regain the confidence of the American people. Mr. President, I want to thank again my colleagues, senators from South Carolina, the senator from Oklahoma, and others who have fought sometimes a lonely fight to try to clean up this mess. Mr. President, I yield the balance of my time to the senator from Oklahoma and the senator from South Carolina.